Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour two of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. As I mentioned, it's the noon hour, and that means it's lunchtime. The lunch hour of Adam Carriker on The Ticket is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two numero dos locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way. Right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, incredible size. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue. Located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. One more note. We'll have one monthly remote at Mulberry Barbecue South location. All right, at South location, our first one will be Friday, July 25th. All right. Also, hour two of the Adam Carriker Show is brought to you by our good friends at Suizo Construction. We were actually on site there about a month ago. It was great to meet all those fine folks. They do a phenomenal job. They are really good at what they do. They also make a huge impact in the community. Okay, where safety isn't just a policy at Suizo Construction, it's a promise. Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back on and off the job site. Apply today at suizo.com. That's S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W.com. 40 years strong in business, Suizo Construction. All right, so we did a little bit of recon during the break. Well, first, what do the people have to say? How much stock and value do they place on three different entities now? National publications saying that Nebraska has the easiest schedule of all the teams in the Big Ten.
Let's see here. We've got a 0778 text in says there's no pushovers besides Akron and HCU on the schedule this year. Nebraska must keep their foot on the gas and not play down to their competition. USC will be good this year, and UCLA will also be better. Minnesota and Michigan State are scrappy. Nebraska Northwestern is always, almost always close.
He makes such a phenomenal point because I talked about there's only one game you look at, we're going to be a gigantic underdog. There's only two games you look at, and I, with all due respect to Akron and Houston Christian, we should expect to win those games, and we should expect them not to be close. Outside of those two games, there's 10 games, whereas Nebraska fans, we legit have no idea which way it's going to go. And if I were to say who's probably the least difficult team left on the schedule, it's Northwestern. And it is always close and scrappy way more often than not, I should say, anyways. Like, we do. We got to go halfway across the country to Maryland. Then we got to follow it up with a Friday night game at Minnesota. Michigan State is going to be better. Do not overlook them. Going to Pasadena. Going two time zones the other direction in November. Nico Iamaliava. All right, what's that going to look like? Iowa's always freaking close. So it's a great point. Any other texts?
No, that was the only text there on that.
So we did a bunch of recon during the break. The last time, well, let me just read these. All right, our last, what is this, 10 years, game one matchups. All right, UTEP, we won 40-7. Minnesota, I don't even want to read some of these again. All right, I'm just going to go quick. Minnesota, 2023, lost 13-10. Northwestern, Dublin Iron, lost 31-28 at Illinois. Because you mentioned we don't play a lot of Power 4 teams to kick off the schedule. We, over time, because we're like, man, it's been 22 years since we beat a Power 4 team that due to the recon that we found during the break. No, Jake, we've actually played a lot of them recently.
Recently, we have, yeah.
You go beyond 2015, and there's a lot less. Okay. You got at Illinois, 2021. I remember, like, some of the other games I've read are hard to think about again. I remember that one because that was really the first time I was like, really? Illinois is now a team that beats us. Because I remember thinking that, like, oh, that's tough. Okay. At Ohio State. Man, what a great drive one of that game. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Right down
oh,
the field. Yeah. Unfortunately, the rest of the game happened, but it was 52-17. Bad guys win. Then South Alabama, All right, we beat them. Colorado, unfortunately, lost that game in 2018. Arkansas State, we beat them. Fresno State, we beat them 43-13. All right, and that was the game they honored Sam Fultzen. All right, 2015 BYU, I remember that freaking game like it was yesterday, lost 33-28. According to our research, if somebody else can find different, let us know. It goes all the way back to 2003 since we beat a Power 4 team game one of the season. And I remember that game like it was yesterday. It was number 24 Oklahoma State coming into Lincoln. And I remember, because that was the first game I ever played in. I redshirted 02. My redshirt season was 2003. And I tell you what, the team was ready and amped for that game. That was Bo Pelini's first game as a defensive coordinator. We came out. The score was 17-7. It really wasn't even that close. I mean, the team played well. The defense was swarming. DeMario Williams, that was the first time anybody had ever seen him come off the edge as a defensive end in a nickel package, and he had 10-plus sacks that year. I'm just going to be honest with you. The guy weighed 207, 210 pounds. I still to this day don't know how he rushed the passer so well. Other than he is one of the biggest mental monsters I've ever seen in my life. He played like he was 260, 250 because of his mental approach. I watched him go toe-to-toe with 315-pound offensive lineman. Do some math. That's over 100-pound difference. And he looked stronger than they did. It was insane to me. Plus his insane athleticism and a very good player as a whole. I remember, didn't Barrett Rood had a fumble recovery for a touchdown that game? I remember him celebrating with the fans. Maybe he didn't take it back for a touchdown. Maybe he did. He was celebrating with the fans. Brian Bingham picked up a fumble. He was celebrating with the fans. The only thing that frustrated me about that day was my D-line coach the night before was like, you're going to play 18 to 20 plays tomorrow. I played two.
Oh.
And they weren't on defense.
Uh-oh.
It was their PAT and their one field goal. I actually blocked it. I have the block of the week award still at my house. Those are the only two plays I played. So I've mentioned in the past, this is not the point of the segment. I thought about transferring briefly. It was after that game. Oh, wow. It wasn't because I didn't play a ton. It's because I was lied to. I didn't like that. And this is not what the point of this. We can dive more into this tomorrow if people want, because I want to get to these topics that we have planned to talk about today. But I was supposed to play 18 to 20 plays, and I only played zero on defense, two on special teams, the two field goal block attempts that we had, one on PAT, one was an actual field goal. And yeah, afterwards, I remember my parents were there to watch my first ever game, my lifelong dream coming true, running out on the field, playing for Nebraska, wearing scarlet and cream. And I was having a hard time, and they were like, man, you're pretty upset. And I was like, yeah. They're like, because you didn't play that much? No. But why are you upset? Because he told me one thing and did something completely different. That bothered me. But I digress. Obviously, there was about a 48-hour period where I thought about transferring. I was like, I'm not going to play for somebody I can't trust. At the end of it, it was very similar to why I didn't go pro early after my junior year, because I was a projected first-round pick. If anybody ever questions my love of Nebraska, I've had a couple people say, hey, man, you're pretty harsh sometimes. No, I'm pretty honest. Well, do you really love Nebraska? Yes, I do. I love it enough to be the bad guy and speak the truth when sometimes it's hard to, and sometimes some people are scared to. I could have gone pro after my junior year, and I came back, and I risked injury and leaving millions on the table to come back, and it obviously worked out all right, but there's the Willis McGahees of the world, and there's what was the Ole Miss quarterback a couple years ago in the Sugar Bowl. You never know what's going to happen. My point is, I stayed at Nebraska despite that I was no longer a fan of that particular coach. I didn't feel I could trust him. He was gone a year later. I didn't know that at the time because that was my lifelong dream, was to play at Nebraska. So I stayed because of that. That wasn't the point of that whole segment. I went through that quickly. We can dive more into it in depth in another day if you'd like to. But that was a big win over number 24 Oklahoma State that day. It was kind of the kicking off of the Bo Pelini defense. He was the defensive coordinator. Solich was the head coach that year. The team played really, really well. You look at Cincinnati this year. I mean, it's going to be rocking. It's going to be a home game for the Husker fans. Cincinnati, they weren't even a Power 4 team a few years ago. Obviously, they have that magical college football playoff type season, lose to Alabama, but they become technically a Power 4 team. They were 5-7 a year ago. They've got a whole lot of new. They're out to prove some stuff. We absolutely should be favored. It's a game where I look at and I'm like, we should win by double digits, but I would take a one-point win because I would just take a win because we got to get that win in the first game of the season. And you go all the way back to 2003, based on what we could find, is the last time we beat a Power 4 team the first game of the year. And you look at our record over the past 10 years in game ones were 2-8. And so we got to get that first win. If we get that first win, we're going to be 3-0 as well. Might as well just throw that out there too. Because we should expect to beat Akron and Houston Christian. You got any quick thoughts before we move on to kind of the Matt Rhule year three jump talk there, Jake?
No, just that at least last year they did get that. I mean, there's nothing more deflating to your football season than starting 0-1. Now, teams can bounce back, and as we know, but that's been something that, you know, we get all this offseason Kool-Aid and get going and hype and excitement, and then you lose that one, and it just brings your excitement for the season down. So if they can do it, I mean, they started 3-0 last year. Let's hope they can do the same thing heading into Michigan.
I should note, Steele ranked Nebraska's schedule as the 63rd easiest in the country as well. So just a little sidebar note there. All right. There's no way we're going to get all the way through this in the next segment. I want to head to break so we have as much time in that segment as we can to talk about Matt Rhule's year three jump and how what we can learn from Temple and Baylor. And we'll probably carry the discussion over into the beginning of tomorrow's show as well. But when we come back, we're going to start diving and looking into Matt Rhule's year threes at Temple and Baylor and what we can take away as Nebraska fans as he heads into his year three here with the Huskers. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.